Hello, ECAN Nation. Welcome to episode 128 of the ECAN Debrief. I'm David Cole, joined by Nate Dean. It is Tuesday, April the 9th, 2024, coming off the total eclipse of yesterday, as both myself and Nate both traveled back from Houston, Texas, where we're at the 2024 United States Pro Kart Series Texas Grand Prix at the Speed Sports Racing Park in New Caney, Texas, where the opening round of the five-race championship program began down at the Texas Grand Prix. An exciting weekend from April 5th to the 7th down in the Lone Star State. And me, myself, and Nate will kind of break down what happened during the weekend over the seven categories that were competing over the 3 days in New Caney, Texas, in this episode of The Debrief. And this week's show is presented by DID Chain. Since 1933, DID has been designing and manufacturing high-quality chains that are chosen and utilized by the world's best power sports athletes and is the winningest chain brand in the industry. From the hairpin turns of MotoGP to the local circle track, everywhere in between, DID has a chain offering for all levels of power sports that are designed to outlast and outperform the competition. DID also offers various levels of 4-pitch and 5-pitch chains to fit your drive chain needs. With over 90 years of experience, stay driven with DID. So Nate, you got to make your first visit to the Speed Sports Racing Park. Kind of just give us your kind of first impressions of the facility itself and kind of how you thought the racetrack performed for the USPKS weekend.
Yeah, like you said, first time was impressed by it, impressed by the racing. Always had some good on-track battling throughout the weekend, and I saw that at events earlier on in the season, whether that be TSRS or other series from last year too. The facility itself was very nice to be at. Doesn't help that it's with it being Texas, always pretty hot and a little unbearable at times, so that's nothing that they can do about the weather, but really pleased the first experience I had there.
Yeah, I got the Domino's right next door, so you can get your cheese pizza, or I can get mine. And they got the rental cart track, which they actually ran this weekend. Last year they didn't run any rental carts, but this year they did. So in between races, we got to stare at just regular people, the public coming in and making laps. But I was told that a lot of different teams and drivers took part in some extracurricular activities at the end of each day to kind of put some more bragging rights in, including Rollison Performance Group. I think nearly all their mechanics went over there one day. So it adds to a little bit of fun to have both that the rental car track and the competition track there. And then also they had the food. What was the name of the food place? The food court? Is that what it was called?
Food Zone. I can't remember.
Food Zone. That's what it was. Yes. Lots of cars there Saturday and Sunday, getting in, some food and taking in, some karting while there as well. They had the feed playing on the Jumbotron that they have inside that, facility, the outdoor facility that they have there. So we could see it from our tower too. So it was a unique, aspect to it. United States Pro Kart Series, again, they're opening up the 2024 season with, the Texas Grand Prix down at the Speed Sports Racing Park. So it is the first round of the five-event championship program, which began back in 2013. So now entering its 12th season in competition. The weather, as you said, hot. That's something you get when you typically go to Texas. It was warm and windy on Friday and Saturday. And actually, we began with a wet racetrack, kind of rained in the morning hours in New Caney. Not necessarily our hotel, because I don't even recall it being wet outside our hotel, which was about 10 miles south of the racetrack. So the warm up under wet conditions. And then once we got into the B mains, the track was dried up and ready to go. So, but it did provide a lot of humidity with the moisture coming up through the ground. And yeah, it was kind of a disgusting. I'm glad it was just Sunday where we only had the two B mains and then the seven finals. So it made for a little bit of a bearable day, but still by the end of the day, it was pretty humid. Looking at by the numbers, Nate, we were down about 24 entries in total compared to last year's first ever trip for United States Pro Kart Series to the Speed Sports Racing Park. Majority of the categories stayed about the same, but we did have some growth in KA100 Junior along with a little bit of growth in KA100 Senior. But the drop was biggest in X30 Pro, where we're only at 21 drivers compared to 37 last year.
Yeah, like you said, the biggest drop there is the X30 Pro category. 37 carts last year, 21 this year. Again, like we've been saying, with a lot of series that haven't experienced the same amount of entries that they did in last year's runnings, really can be attributed to a very, very tight and condensed winter series program, at least from my perspective of why maybe some series aren't getting the numbers they would have wanted. Is it's still the first round of this PCAS season is still just a couple weeks, so was a couple weeks away from the end of winter series being wrapped up. So hopefully they can get increased numbers compared to their other races and the races to come, but still 262 entries for a race down south in Texas for coming off of, like we said, a very condensed schedule is still a very good turnout for them.
Yeah, massive turnout, filling up the paddock once again at Speed Sports. So yeah, 22 entries less compared to last year. Micro and Mini essentially about the same. Micro was exactly the same at 39, and we were at 40 for Mini Swift with a cap instituted on that category, so didn't get up to the 45K. Masters down 5 to 15. Junior up to 67, so that's 16 more than what we had last year. So essentially that washed out the absence of the Pro Shifter that was at 16 last year. So no Pro Shifter in 2024 for the United States Pro Kart Series. That was talked about prior to the event, not getting enough entries. So we'll talk a little bit more about some of the shifter drivers that did run KA Senior later on, which was about three more than last year at 61 drivers. X30 Junior up one to 19. And then, yeah, just the X30 Pro just missing 16 drivers there. So that's essentially the missing component of getting back to the same number we had last year. But as you said, 262 amazing entries. You got nearly 80 drivers in cadet competition. So that's shows the future is bright for the sport of karting, with a lot of interest in the youth programs across the country. So we'll see more and more drivers coming up the ranks as we move forward in the coming years to come. With that, we'll head into our first commercial break, and then when we return, we'll have the Soty Racing USA Paddock Pass.
There's a new hot button name in American safety equipment, Stilo USA. Every product with Stilo is focused on safety, comfort, and function. Stilo USA is happy to provide you with the proper safety apparel to keep you protected on the track, and their karting lineup is second to none. The ST5 KRT karting helmet is available for $599. Manufactured using a lightweight and extremely strong composite material, the KRT provides an excellent fit and comfort level due to its dual density interior foam lining, and it's equipped with a symmetrical visor that offers excellent vision and an effortless central visor locking system. The ST5 CMR standard was developed jointly by the FIA Institute and Snell Memorial Foundation to ensure safer and lighter weight helmets for the younger karters. Drivers rave about the superior comfort levels, lightweight construction, and the unparalleled field of vision. The perfect youth helmet is available for $549. Stilo didn't stop with their helmets either. The newly developed Carbon Curva Rib Protector is unlike any on the market, with its form-fitting solution to offer superior protection. Head to stilohelmets.com to review these and many more products to keep you safe on the track. Stilo. Any competition, one helmet. Let decades of experience and success lead you to the top of the podium. Join Brandon Jarsocrack Racing as your race team at the sport's major events in the United States. Brandon Jarsocrack is a four-time United States Pro Kart Series champion, along with a multi-time Supercarts USA Pro Tour and WKA Manufacturers Cup Series race winner. Jarsocrack is ranked among one of the best from his generation to get behind the wheel of a racing kart. BJR provides full race team service and support at all USPKS, SCUSA, and Stars Championship Series events, along with trackside programs at the Trackhouse Motorplex in Mooresville, North Carolina. Partnering with Mike Doty Racing, Brandon's team of driver coaches and mechanics are passionate for the sport, providing decades of experience both on the track and working with many of today's karting standouts and current motorsport stars. Brandon Jarsocrack Racing offers a full range of services, including kart preparation, driver coaching, and race event support for both two-cycle and four-cycle competitors. BJR is an official LN Racing kart team with OTK USA and is an official offset sport race team. Contact them today to develop a program based around your needs. Head to BrandonJarsocrack.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the EKN Debrief. It is episode 128, Tuesday, April 9th, 2024. I'm David Cole, joined by Nate Dean as we are breaking down the 2024 United States Pro Kart Series Texas Grand Prix from the Speed Sports Racing Park down in Texas. Now we'll dump into the Paddock Pass presented by Soti Racing USA. What brand is known around the world for its innovation and success? It is Soti Kart. The Soti brand returned in full force during the 2023 season thanks to new exclusive importer, the Karting Distribution, led by industry veteran Thierry Germanovic. The French manufacturer Soti Kart is a leader within the karting industry, offering a wide range of products and services. Visit soti-racing-usa.com to learn more about the Soti Kart chassis or call 954-634-5111 to become part of the Soti Racing USA network today. Soti Kart, the world leader in the karting industry. So, Nate, one of the things we talked about, and by the numbers, is no shifter kart category at the United States Pro Kart Series. That's probably going to stick through the remainder of the season with not enough numbers to reach the 10 minimum that they were requesting prior to the event. So it was a little bit different. It allowed for a little bit of a quicker day because we didn't have the shifter category. So got back to the seven categories that USPKS had been prior to last year. What are your thoughts on not having the shifter program at USPKS?
I mean, yeah, it kind of sucks. We saw a lot of really good and close racing with Pro Shifter last year, but obviously if the numbers aren't there and you're just going to run five carts in the class, then don't run it. I think PKS made the right decision there with, I think it was only five drivers that had been signed up when the deadline came last Friday. So, yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but it's kind of the nature of shifter cart drivers and shifter cart racing of those drivers don't run as much as the KA or the micro or the mini drivers that run on the national scene. So, unfortunate that we didn't have a class that put on a lot of action last year, but ultimately the right decision by the series.
Yeah, they came out of the gate 18, 16, and 20 at Newcastle, and then fell to 14th at Motorsports Country Club, and then 10th at GoPro. So, you know, kind of the writing was on the wall. I don't think the shifter cart drivers want to race a five event championship program. And that's kind of where I think the narrative was for a lot of these drivers in terms of the shifter cart program. So essentially, we're going to see shifters at Supercarts USA and Pro Tour, and then probably some of the other rock events. We'll see shifter carts at Challenge of the Americas this weekend as they wrap up their program in Sonoma. But that, you know, that kind of does limit the amount of races. Stars is obviously going to have a shifter category as well too, but we typically didn't see a lot of the quote unquote heavy hitters at Stars. So maybe we'll see a few more going towards that program. That program only four races. And again, just on the eastern half of the pretty much northeastern part of the country. I know they'll open up in Charlotte and then go up further north to MCC and Newcastle. And I believe their other race is Pittsburgh. Is that where it is?
I don't believe they're going back to Pittsburgh this year.
No, not Pittsburgh. I can't remember where it was. Well, anyway, yeah, so I think five's too many for the shift cart categories. And that was one of the things when USPKS did open up to five, it was kind of questionable. But the teams wanted it, and that's what they got. And unfortunately, shifter cart's a casualty of that. So I think that's where it lies with that. So what we did see at Speed Sports was the debut of the new MG Yellow tire that was competing with the X30 Pro division. So got to get some feedback from some of the drivers about it. From what I've heard, it wasn't really much of a change from the old tire. It was it's a harder sidewall. So that's one of the things that was kind of pointed out. But the grip level, I don't think is quite as much as what they expected it to be. I think it's very similar to the previous tire. And, I don't know, you know, we only have the one main event, and it seems like the driver said it, you know, it didn't really fall off. It fell off quick, you know, after about five laps. I think five lap now is like the magic lap for this tire. And then after that, it'll kind of fall off, but kind of stay static. So nothing too outrageously, you know, not for on my side. I didn't hear a lot of rave reviews, but I didn't hear a lot of negativity. Just kind of it feels kind of the same. Nate, I don't know if you were able to talk to any drivers about that tire.
Well, I talked to a few of the X30 drivers throughout the weekend, and none of them really had anything to say about the tire. So in my mind, that's a win in MG's book. Usually, right. If things are going well, you're not really going to talk about it too much. It's when things aren't going too well that you're going to complain and moan about it. So no, I heard nothing about it this weekend. So like I said, if I'm MG, I'm taking that as a win.
Yeah. One thing I did notice, it was the same lap time in qualifying that we saw last year. Basically, I think maybe a hundredth of a second difference between 2023 and 2024. So other than that, you know, I think we'll kind of have to wait and see, get more data on the tire at different racetracks and different events. And maybe it is the same. Maybe it's very similar. Maybe nothing really changed. But we were thinking, because of how hard or how much softer, how much more grip the red tire was, we'd see a little bit more grip out of the new yellow tire. So again, a kind of a wait and see, kind of similar to what we saw with the debut of the red back in January. We'll get some more data on that as the season goes along. One of the things trackside was Tillet Racing Seats coming over from the UK, bringing representatives, the Tillet family coming over, working with Franklin Motorsports and providing a full array of their products, including the full seat line and their rib protector and chest protectors that they do offer as well. So that we did see a lot of drivers taking advantage of seat fitting and rib protection fitting as well too. So great to see that. Franklin obviously been a longtime distributor for the Tillet brand, and great to see Laura and I forgot his other name, see them there providing some trackside support for those. That's one thing we do see a lot. It's a lot of Tillet racing seats on a lot of carts throughout the paddock. So good to see that. Nate, did you swing by there at all during the weekend?
I didn't really have time to walk down there. I took a few pictures for USPKS socials and obviously saw the wall of seats they had and the rib protector options, but I wasn't able to talk to them too much.
Yeah, they do provide different graphics. That is a cool thing with their rib protector. You can get it customized, personalized, however you want it. The different colors are available. So that's something different than what you see with a lot of other rib protector devices out on the market. One of the notable things throughout the weekend was a new paperless penalty system that USPKS and Race Select are working on together to develop for the race weekend. Essentially, instead of receiving a paper penalty, your penalty will be displayed on a TV monitor. That is the kind of goal for USPKS and Race Select. Unfortunately, the Texas heat took down, I want to say maybe 2 to 3 TVs that they had to go through because of sitting out in the sun for a constant amount of time. So they had to do some TV repairs or TV replacements during it, so which kind of delayed a few things. They also had to work out the way the system was entered and when it was, and holding the scale line to make sure people read it before they left the scale line. Because again, paper side, they would hand the paper right to you while you were in the scale line. Well, this was supposed to eliminate that. And people were talking on Saturday that they didn't see any penalty when they went through the scale. So my personal side of it is I think we still need the paper side of it, and you can still do the TV display in a location somewhere on the facility that will, one, not burn up 3 different TVs, but also everybody can go to see the penalties that are happening on the racetrack as it happens. So Nate, what was kind of your feedback or your opinion on this new paperless penalty system that they've implemented?
I mean, yeah, there were kinks that need to be worked out. There are issues throughout the weekend that, you know, that's going to happen going into the weekend. It's a brand new system for karting. No series has really done this before. So, of course, PKS, Race Select, Keith Warren, who heads that operation up, we're going to have to figure some things out and you could say a trial by fire with the Texas heat and burning up a few displays. But from what Timing and Scoring said, they said a couple aspects of their job, it was made easier by doing it. I think the obvious response from a mechanic or a driver point of view of, well, oh, I didn't see the penalty, even though you got one, is probably going to be used a bit more now, is kind of the cop out. It's something we, at least Route 66 has been looking into it and been working with USPKS on it and figuring that out. And that was one of the issues that we thought might happen. And of course, going into this weekend, it does. So that little bit of insight, but I think it'll be a good system moving down the line. I think it'll work once they get all the kinks worked out, coming to the next races and more challenges getting presented to them and fixing that. So give them a season, and come 2025, I think they'll have a really solid system to work with.
And that's my thought. I think they need to use the next 4 weekends using both the paper and the paperless. That way the paper is official. The paperless is still official and working. And that way you can work out the kinks. That way you have a system and you have a backup system. Because if you use the paperless system as your primary right now, you don't have a backup system. And as you said, I think people are going to find no different than bumpers, than the pushback bumper, no different than engine tech. People are going to find a way to manipulate a system or a rule or something like that. And so I think that's one of the things that's going to be needed to be worked out. Obviously they have about a month a month ahead till the next event to think about it. But for me, I think they should continue with the paperless as being their secondary system, and still go back with, they still have the same people that are implementing all the penalties that are there already. Keep the paper system going until you are 99% sure that the paperless system is going to work and working the way you want it to work. So again, it was a trial by fire, as you said. So I think they'll have to reexamine it going over the next couple of weeks before we get to Trackhouse. With that, we will head into our next commercial break. And when we return, we'll have the race report presented by Comet Kart Sales.
In karting, it's important to be supported by the right people. With over 40 years of experience in the sport, Trinity Karting Group has everything you need to make your program successful. We do it all, and we do it right. Trackside support and arrive and drive programs at many of karting's biggest East Coast events, full product sales and service, and professional coaching from our experienced staff. Trinity Karting Group is a full-service operation based at the Motorsports Country Club of Cincinnati, which gives us access to our custom-designed driver training facility. This allows us to offer private one-on-one coaching to take you to the next level. From arrive and drive and coaching programs to the parts you need, let Trinity Karting Group provide you with customer service and a racing experience second to none. Trinity Karting Group is an official Kart Republic race team, providing full trackside support at all the major USA karting events, including the SCUSA Pro Tour, United States Pro Kart Series, SCUSA Super Nationals 25, and other events throughout the 2022 season. TKG has in stock Kart Republic, IAMI, MG Novinco tires, and more products for those in Ohio and the Midwest region. Trinity Karting Group has a long history of the sport, a winning pedigree, and we're dedicated to driver development. We take pride in our professional approach and our positive attitude. Let us build a custom race program for you. Give us a call at 513-421-4463 or check us out online at trinitykartinggroup.com. The new face of competitive karting in the Pacific Northwest region is RaceLab. The full-service karting operation is located at the state-of-the-art Kartplex facility in Oliver, British Columbia, Canada, providing everything you need to hit the track or put yourself in a successful driver development program. RaceLab is the official North American distributor for the TB Kart chassis brand, providing the full range of models from kid kart to shifter kart. Villeneuve Racing Karts is their flagship product, available only through RaceLab. The brand carries the name of Formula One champion and Indianapolis 500 winner Jacques Villeneuve, with each model produced by TB Kart. Kartplex, the home of RaceLab, is situated on the grounds of the Area 27 Motorsports Park. From full arrive and drive TB Kart rentals to leagues and competition karting, the facility provides a new home to developing the future stars of motorsports, all beginning at Kartplex with RaceLab. Follow RaceLab on social media on Facebook and Instagram, or load up their website at www.theracelab.ca to learn more about TB Kart and Villeneuve Racing Karts. RaceLab. Race with us, win with us.
And welcome back to the ECAN Debrief. It is episode 128. I'm David Cole, joined by Nate Dean, as we are breaking down, providing you the news and notes and information from the United States Pro Kart Series Texas Grand Prix that was held at the Speed Sports Racing Park this past weekend. We are now into our race report segment presented by Comet Kart Sales. History, success, family. These are three words that describe Comet Kart Sales, one of the longest tenured karting businesses in the United States. The family-owned operation is located just outside Indianapolis and has provided carts, parts, and services for thousands of racers in the near six decades of business. Their online store features everything you need, and they are continually adding new parts to their product line. Make sure you head to CometKartSales.com or call them at 317-462-3413 to be part of the Comet Kart Sales family today. Nate, we'll get into the X30 Pro presented by Rollison Performance Group. Go ahead and give us the headline for that.
So Norberg sweeps weekend in first USPKS win since 2022.
I think that was kind of the story going in. I know we didn't get to do an outlap podcast, preview podcast before the weekend because I was on vacation. But it seemed like some of the quote unquote media people were betting against Norberg to come back and be the Norberg that we saw earning the last three championships in the United States Pro Kart Series. Watching what we saw at the Winter Series, at the Winter Nationals, Nate, were you going to bet against Ryan Norberg going into the weekend?
You can't really ever bet against him, because obviously he's always going to be there no matter what series or platform it is. It's just since 2022, everyone else has stepped up their game that isn't on an RPG Cosmic with Speed Concepts and Inter MS and all those guys. So it's not a case of betting against him. It's just a case of a lot of other teams are quick now, and you just have to see with weather conditions and track layouts what suits who.
Well, if you bet against them, you lost, because Norberg put in a pretty dominant performance, leading every session, leading every lap of the weekend, set a fast time in qualifying with a 52.084, and it was a RPG 1-2 with Gia Cicero putting down a really fast lap in qualifying to end up second in the session. Christian Miles third on the Race Lab TB Kart with Donovan Bonilla in fourth, and Alessandro Di Tullio rounding out the fast five. But Norberg, as we said, went on to win all three heat races, leading all 10 laps of all three motos. Di Tullio was second in the first, Garrison second in the second, and then Bonilla runner up in the third heat race. So that put Bonilla on the front row alongside Norberg with Garrison and Pauly Massimino filling out row two. And it looked like Garrison and Pauly were probably like the more experienced drivers up there to really put a challenge to Ryan. What would you say? What was your thought going into the main event? Like, who was going to be the driver that challenged Norberg?
Yeah, I thought Garrison was probably going to be the one to do it on Di Tullio, maybe, unless him and Inter MS had found something on that Car Republic where they seem like they had it on one lap pace, but throughout a stint on the new MG Yellows and under the Texas seat, just didn't seem like they were going to be able to keep that up for 24, 25 laps in the final.
Yeah, Di Tullio placed eighth in the last two heat races, so not exactly showing well at the end of the day there on Saturday. But when the race did start, it was Garrison that did jump out as the lead challenger behind Norberg and put a lot of pressure on him early in the race. And at one point, Norberg was running a defensive line, I would say, on lap three and lap four, making sure Garrison didn't make a big, bold move for the lead. Kind of kept Garrison at bay until his tires came in. And then once his tires came in, boom, he was just inch by inch. And I say inch by inch, I mean, that's essentially what it was, because Garrison was just as consistent as Norberg, but it was just a little bit of a difference that kept Norberg out front. And that essentially gave Norberg the victory, going out to a 1.7 margin of victory over Austin Garrison on the Speed Concepts Racing Gallard. You said Di Tullio was finding pace. He did find pace, got a good start, got up into the third spot early and was keeping pace with the top two drivers, but just fell off a little bit as well. So he was able to run into the third position. The fight really on racetrack was for fourth. That included Donovan Bonilla. Why can't I think of his first name? Carr.
Brandon,
sorry. Yeah, I was coming brain freeze there. Brandon Carr and Harley Keeble coming up from the, where did he start? 10th position. So Keeble, we saw that in the last heat race. If I recall correctly, Keeble was kind of a challenger, making a little bit of some noise there in the last heat race, but after qualifying back in 10th. So he had a bad first heat, started the main event in 10th, and then eventually worked his way up to battle with Brandon Carr and Donovan Bonilla. It was Carr that ended up winning the fourth position, with Bonilla crossing the line in fifth, but a penalty for contact dropped him down to the eighth spot, moving Keeble onto the podium in fifth. So we had Cosmic, Gallard, Kart Republic, and Sodi Kart on the podium for the opening round. Nate, the hard charger was...
that'll be Dalton Haynes on Sodi Kart, seven spots going from 20th to 13th. Dalton not having the weekend he would have wanted, citing a bit of power plant issues earlier on in the weekend and having to sort those out later on, but obviously finding some pace in that final, going from almost dead last to 13th on the grid.
Yeah, so a good run for him. Now we'll head into the K100 Senior presented by Brandon Jarzakrak Racing. Nate, the headline is...
Isambard storms to first series victory.
This was, again, a wild category all weekend long. We had, 61 drivers in the field, and it was pretty chaotic throughout much of the weekend. Jake Drew making a bid for... a USPKS victory, joined in with the Trackside Karting Services and GFC crew and Formula Works to set fast time in qualifying, the 54.370, to outgun last year's champion Elio Meza, making his Trinity Karting Group Kart Republic debut after a one-off with them at the Norberg Invitational, came back and at his home racetrack to join the team for probably just a one-off. Not sure if he's going to run the full season yet, but certainly started the weekend off strong, finishing in second in qualifying ahead of Blake Nash, Jesus Vasquez Jr., and Landon Skinner. Heat races, again, a lot of action going on. And one of the winners in the first heat race was shifter cart driver AJ Myers. So again, one of those drivers who was supposed to race shifter cart moved over to the KA category and won a pretty solid battle in the opening heat race against top qualifier Jake Drew, who actually was disqualified in that race for an unsportsmanlike gesture. So that cost him in the heat points, as we'll get into that a little bit later on. But Donovan Bonilla picking up the other heat race in their first round of heat races, winning the C versus D group. Another shifter cart driver, Alan Isambard, the driver for Soty Racing USA, PK Sports, found some speed, had an issue in the opening heat race, but was able to overcome that in the second heat race to score the win, with Elio Meza picking up the victory in the other heat race. Meza actually winning two, so the only driver in the class to win two heat races, along with Jesus Vasquez Jr. So five different drivers picking up a heat race, kind of shuffled everybody around to start the main event, with Meza on the pole position alongside Jesus Vasquez Jr., Donovan Bonilla and Aiden Rudolph on the second row, and then Cooper Shipman making his first start of the 2024 season, starting from the fifth position. Nate, the main event essentially was a four-driver fight early on, with the drivers kind of basically just sizing each other up. But the real story was Alan Isambard watching him come through the field.
Yeah, he was storming through the field, was on his Soty card, was really, really impressive, at least for me, throughout the weekend, making the swap from shifter cart racing to K100, like you said. But one of the more impressive drivers throughout the entire paddock this weekend for me, just seemed cool and collected the entire time, was able to adapt to kind of the chaotic racing that is K100 senior whenever you enter in that. So really, really strong performance from him. And if we don't see pro shifters at the rest of the season for USPKS, I would love to see him continue this K100 senior campaign and see what he can do in the long run.
Yeah, started 12th and essentially worked his way up into the fifth spot, and then ran down the four pack leaders and picked them off one by one. Once he got there, he took the lead coming to the white flag, even though Meza was running a pretty much a defensive line almost the entire race. But Isambard found a good spot to get around him, did so, and then essentially just put down another good solid lap on that last lap, kept Meza back, and was able to cross the line first and score his first USPKS victory in the K100 senior division. So the Soty Kart driver winning by just over a tenth ahead of Meza. Cooper Shipman ended up finishing in the third spot. He was one of those drivers in that four-driver lead pack. But as they were racing there towards the end, I think the lead pack grew to about 12 drivers, would you say, Nate?
Yeah, it was a battle pack up there for sure.
And among those in the second group was Alex Stanfield. Alex Stanfield actually started back in the 27th position, and with the drivers fighting up front, allowed them to close back in at the end of the race. So he was probably running about seventh or eighth, and then the final couple of laps was able to move himself into fourth on the Race Lab TB cart. And then Aiden Rudolph on the CRG Nordam finishing in the fifth position. So pretty easy to pick out the hard charger of the race there, Nate.
Yeah, he said Stanfield, 23 spots from 27th to fourth. It was a really good run for the TB kart driver and really impressive. We've seen some good results from him in TSRS in the two races they've had so far this year, and maybe not the weekend he would have wanted, but to end up on the podium after starting down in 27th in the finals, one heck of an achievement for him and the team.
Yeah, that pushed Vasquez down into sixth. I thought he was going to be the driver to beat. He seemed like he was coming on, but a couple of mistakes for him, I think, essentially cost him that opportunity for a victory. So Jake Drew up 10 spots to 10th. So he started back in 20th after that unsportsmanlike conduct penalty hurt him in the opening heat race after he picked up two runner-ups in his heat races. So What do we have? One. Yeah. So that's two GFCs, two TB carts with Christian Miles in ninth. So pretty diverse driver and chassis, and team driver or teams represented in the top 10. So pretty, I think this category is going to be fun to watch the remainder of the year. So, with that, we'll head into our next commercial break. And when we return, we'll have X30 Junior and K100 Junior after these messages.
It all started in my parents' garage. That's the foundation for MPG Motorsports, which grew from a small home garage in Indiana into one of the top race teams and kart shops in the industry. A true passion for motorsports runs deep in the DNA of MPG, which has developed strong connections within karting. Now based at the Whiteland Raceway Park in central Indiana, MPG Motorsports offers a wide range of opportunities through its race team while providing a full-service kart shop as an official dealer for the Kart Republic brand. The MPG Motorsports race team is led by ownership partner and karting champion Chase Jones and provides full trackside service and driver development. Be part of the MPG program at the USPKS, Stars Championship Series, and Route 66 Sprint Series events with arrive and drive opportunities available to those programs, as well as at the Whiteland Club races this season. A new 3,500 square foot shop is now open at the Whiteland Raceway Park in Whiteland, Indiana, and is the new home of MPG Motorsports. This new headquarters will provide local and regional racers with a full service race shop that provides a wide range of parts and supplies to racers, including the full chassis line of the Kart Republic brand. For more, head to mpg-motorsports.com and follow us on social media. Let MPG Motorsports take your motorsports career in the direction of your choice. Winning takes top quality equipment, flawless preparation, experienced coaching, and passion. And at Team GFC, we live our passion. Developed by American karting champion Gary Carlton, the GFC chassis has become one of the newest brands to reach the top of the podium in North America. GFC has garnered victories and championships at all levels of the sport since its debut at the end of 2018. Shifter car drivers are at the front of the field in the GT14 frame, with the SS31 a consistent contender in tag and 100cc competition. Team GFC has arrive and drive packages available for all categories, including the mini and micro classes utilizing the GFC RR5 cadet chassis. These young pilots have the opportunity to be part of the Team GFC Young Driver Development Program. Learn from one of the best American karters with 28 years racing at the highest levels in the sport, offering personalized training on and off the track. Follow GFC Karting on Facebook and Instagram, or click over to gfckarting.com to learn more about joining Team GFC. GFC, live your passion.
And we are back from commercial on the ECAN Debrief, episode 128. It is Tuesday, April 9th, 2024, as we are debriefing the United States Pro Kart Series Texas Grand Prix from the Speed Sports Racing Park in New Caney, Texas. We are now into our race second segment of the race report presented by Comet Kart Sales. The next class is X30 Junior presented by Speed Concepts Racing, and the headline is...
Diego Ardiles wins in a photo finish.
Even though the X30 numbers aren't the biggest, it is still probably one of the more competitive categories we have here. And it puts a lot of the top junior drivers against one another. And this certainly was that on the weekend. But it looked like it was going to be Turner Brown all weekend long. He got a sweep through Friday and Saturday, setting fast time in qualifying at 52.978. And then won all three heat races to can retain the pole position for the main event. Diego Ardiles ended up the second spot on the grid with Jackson Wolny and Enzo Vidmonti in fourth. And then Davin Roberts starting in the fifth position. But that all changed prior to, I guess, the lights going out, because they don't wave the green flag anymore, because they did add signs. That's something we didn't talk about. They did add notification signs on the start finish line, including a starting light, which I'll go back to when SCUSA implemented. I do not like to start races with a light. It just bugs me. It's annoying. I hate it. Nate, we'll get your take on that later. Vid Montien was unable to make the start. An electrical issue sidelined him prior to the start of the race. So that kind of shuffled up the front a little bit more as the race began. And as it did, Turner Brown, who was the dominant driver all weekend long, ended up falling all the way back to ninth because, Nate, that the early part of that race, it was pretty hectic with a lot of drivers making a lot of moves.
Yeah. Going back to what you said, obviously not a lot of entries for this class, but the final was really surprising to me of the huge battle pack we had for the win and that really went on for the rest of the race between some of the top drivers in the class. It was really, really fun to watch this one on Sunday.
Yeah, so Brown got shuffled back to ninth. That essentially allowed Ardiles and Wolny to kind of run 1-2. They got a little bit of a gap on the rest of the drivers as they were, again, still shuffling around. And with Brown back in ninth, he was kind of the show. We were watching him slowly move up his way through, move his way through, as Wolny just kept on the bumper of Ardiles. Well, it didn't look like they were really faster than the rest of the field. And so it didn't take much for Brown to get up to the third spot and then essentially reel in those top two drivers towards the end of the race. And that's when Wolny made his move, coming to the white flag, made the pass on Ardiles, took the white flag, and they started racing through the last lap. By that time, Brown had caught up to both of those drivers, which made it now a three-driver fight, essentially, for the victory. And then as they got through the last couple of corners, essentially, it was almost like over-unders, like three drivers trying to pull over-under on each other. Through the final couple of corners, I want to say they were almost three wide going to the kink, to the final kink leading onto the front stretch. But as they did, I think Brown was able to go make that move from third and get a better run down to the inside through the kink and nearly got Ardiles at the line. It was, I want to say, maybe six thousandths of a second at the line with Ardiles taking the checkered flag in a photo finish. But Brown, who ended up finishing in the second spot, did not make it out of technical inspection and was removed from the results. And that put Wolny, who was only 98 thousandths back at the line, put him into the second position. The disqualification of Brown moved Victor Dilankar up to the third spot on the Cosmic. And then more penalties behind them as fourth place finisher Chase Gassett-Lee was handed a penalty for swerving. Originally, it was a disqualification, and then later it was overturned to multiple position penalty. And then Sarah Bradley, who finished fifth on track or finished sixth on track, she was removed in technical inspection as well. So a lot of shuffling, a lot of movement with the results. That all that put Alexander Vanchev to the fourth position and Michael McGoy into the top five. So a wild day, a wild main event for the X30 category. And Nate, who was the hard charger of the race?
Hard charger Nathan Dupuis making up 12 spots, going from 19th to 7th for Supertune and himself.
Yeah, so a good run for him, obviously making up some positions there towards the end because of penalties and technical inspections. So for Brown and Bradley, not a great way to start off the 2024 championship. There's something about Brown and X30. It's something we saw at the Winter Nationals, I believe, crash out of both main events there at the end at the Supercars USA Winter Nationals in Orlando, and now starts off the USPKS with a disqualification. So Nate, that's a tough way to start off the championship.
I don't think he's too happy with a cart with a radiator on it this year. It's been a rough start for him, like you said, with just unfortunate incidents at the final laps at Orlando for SCUSA, and then something out of his control with a technical DQ. It's been unfortunate for him, and especially with how PKS does their point systems with no drops, it's going to be an uphill battle for Turner if he wants to get back in this championship fight.
Yeah, certainly for that. Hopefully with the radiator thing, he'll improve when he does go over to race the FIA Academy, Karting Academy Trophy program representing the United States, which that'll start up here in a few weeks. So with that, we'll head into K100 Junior presented by BBS Racing Engines. And the headline is
Vidmontien runs away to victory.
Yeah, Enzo Vidmontien, you would say would probably be the more experienced driver in the junior category. Would you agree with that, Nate?
I definitely agree with that, yes.
Yeah, so, you know, having experience certainly helps in the single speed category because momentum and playing the game of chess is very important, especially with the fields all gathered up so tight how they are in this category, including qualifying that. Diego Ardiles was just able to get with a 54.993 in this category, which was the largest on the weekend. I believe it was 67. 67 drivers was split up into multiple heats. And we saw Vidmontien come through with the win in the opening heat, while Turner Brown won the C versus D. The second round of heat races, Sebastian Garzón, the Supercarts USA Winter Series champion, ended up going to the top spot, while Vidmontien won his second of the day. And then we got into the third round of heat races. Diego Ardiles finally was able to maintain the pole position and score a win there, while Turner Brown picked up his second victory heat win of the day. So all that put Vidmontien and Garzón on the front row, Turner Brown and Diego Ardiles on the second, and then Tyler Roberts on the track side, Karting Services GFC, in the fifth spot. So a quiet day for Roberts, moving him up to the fifth spot after qualifying seventh. It was Devin Roberts. Sorry, wrong person. Who was I thinking of? Yeah, I was thinking of the wrong person. I apologize. So Devin Roberts was the driver up into the fifth spot after qualifying seventh. Main event time, again, as we said, multiple leaders with a tight field. Nate, would you say there really wasn't a driver that really stood out in the early portion of this race? Because there was a lot of different leaders in this one.
Yeah, there really wasn't. And it's been like this throughout different series that run the KA package throughout the year. It's just there's this 10 or so drivers that can win, and usually they're all within the fight every given weekend. And we really saw that in this race during the weekend. So obviously Junior was one of the ones to watch, one of the more entertaining ones, and they definitely delivered this weekend and in the final.
Yeah, so Vidmontien, Garzón, and Ardiles all were different leaders in the race leading up to about lap 16. And that's when Vidmontien jumped into lead again, and then really heavy racing for second basically gave him the victory. It just seemed like nobody wanted to work with one another, even teammates out there not working with each other. And so by the time Vidmontien got the lead and got through a few of the corners, he had a big lead and was able to essentially hold that through the remainder of the race, pulling out to a near 4 second advantage to earn a second straight victory dating back to last year's season finale, where he was able to win there at Trackhouse Motorplex. So two straight wins for Vidmontien as he starts out the 2024 season as the championship leader. In that battle for second, it ended up being Sebastian Garzón taking the position ahead of Turner Brown. Ty Fisher with probably one of his best races I've seen him all the last couple of years in the fourth spot. Nearly had opportunity to be in second and was among those looking to be a leader at one time as well, too. Just not able to make it happen, but did end up finishing in the fourth spot. And then Jackson Young finishing in fifth, but a couple penalties for contact dropped him out of the top 10. And that moved Diego Ardiles into the fifth spot. So we had Kart Republic, Tony Kart, Cosmic, TB Kart, and Cosmic rounding out the top five. Nate, the hard charger of the race was
Salvador De La Vecchia for Kart Republic. 20 spots moving up from 34th to 14th was the second hardest charger on the weekend, only behind KA100 senior driver Alex Stanfield, who made up three more positions than De La Vecchia.
Yeah, so a good run for for both of them. And also, I think the B main winner, I'm looking back, Caleb Tarter moved up 20 spots. So we actually had two drivers moving 20 spots up. Caleb Tarter winning the B main went from 45th to 20. Yeah, from 45th to 25th in the main event with 15 lap older tires than the rest of the field. So a pretty good run for him as he had that B main pretty much covered earlier in the day. So that's it for the junior categories that we are covering. We'll get to the final segment of the race report presented by Comet Kart Sales, and that'll include K100 Masters, Mini Swift, and Micro Swift.
Check out any major national karting event, and what's the common thread? Speed Concepts Racing. Up front, in every class, every weekend. The Speed family has been at the forefront of American karting for over 25 years, and Speed Concepts Racing is the sole dedication of Father Mike Speed and his multi-time championship-winning son, Alex Speed. This program is all about passion for the sport and a dedication to winning. They know how to get it done. If you're a senior driver ready to put yourself amongst the best in the country, Speed Concepts Racing is the program for you. We can win the big races. You just need to be in the seat. The Speed's program has delivered time over time in the junior classes as well, helping to elevate a long list of young drivers from mid-pack to potential race winners. Speed Concepts Racing has the perfect equation of coaching, driver development, and technical knowledge to elevate your program. Arrive and drive opportunities are available for the remainder of the 2023 season, and we're locking in seats for 2024 as well. If you're ready to take your career to the next level, contact Speed Concepts Racing through email at speedconceptsracing@gmail.com.
Wins in the sport's biggest races and championships in national and regional series all over the country, they're all on Nitro Kart's growing resume. Nitro Kart continues to make its statement as the best, fastest, and winningest cadet chassis on the American market. In 2021, Nitro Kart won the three biggest crowns in America in the Microswift division, with Matteo Rossu in the SCUSA Pro Tour and both the Super Nationals and the USPKS titles with Keelan Harvick. At the Super Nats alone, three of the top five drivers on the podium got there on a Nitro Kart. The results are clear. If you want to win in cadet, get a Nitro Kart and join our team. At Nitro Kart, we're all about driver development. Nick Tucker and the Nitro Crew's racing resumes are extensive, and their passion for helping our kids learn is unparalleled. Racing is about consistent learning, and that's what we're all about here at Nitro Kart. Never wanting to quit, we've continued to extend the reach of our driver development program. In addition to expanding into the junior and senior karting categories, we've also launched Nitro Motorsports, which will field two cars this season in the Trans Am by Pirelli series, one being piloted by karting champion Brent Cruz. Not only can we develop your young driver, but we can also provide the platform if a move to cars is in your plan. And our second seat is available. If you're serious about your driver's career, contact us today.
And welcome back to our final race report segment of the EKN Debrief, episode 128, as we cover the United States Pro Kart Series Texas Grand Prix. David Cole and Nate Dean providing you the ins and outs of the race weekend, as we now get into the KA100 Masters presented by Nash Motorsports. And the headline is
Crippen gains career first.
Again, not a lot of numbers, only 15 drivers in the field. But again, K100 Masters had about probably eight drivers that could win on the weekend. So it was really fun to watch these guys again, really respectful with one another. I don't think we had any issues or even any penalties on the weekend in this class, maybe for things I might not have seen, but pretty clean up front. Up front, it was Martin Stone setting fast time in qualifying with a 55.436, as he was able to edge out Pierce Baldus, a first-time K100 Masters driver in the category. And then Adam Kreppen, who was a first timer last year at this race, in third spot ahead of Texas Sprint Racing Series multi-time champion Miguel Mir, and Laurentiu Mardan, the former series champion, in the rounding out the Fast Five. Stone ended up winning the opening two heat races with some challenge all in both of them. And then in the third heat race got shuffled back as Miguel Mir was able to go away to the race win. Stone retained the pole position for the main event with Mir improving up to the second spot. Kreppen holding on to the third. Nicky Coella in fourth. And then Pierce Bolden is falling back to the fifth spot on the grid. Stone led the majority of the main events. However, Adam Kreppen was able to take over the lead on lap 14 as Stone got shuffled all the way back to fifth because it was essentially a five-driver lead pack for the majority of the race. With Kreppen up front, he was able to essentially hang on. As he said, he was completely exhausted at the end of the race, but he was able to hang on and score his first series victory, beating out Miguel Mir by just over a tenth of a second. Nicky Coella and the Merlin finishing in the third spot, with Laurentiu Mardan moving up into the fourth spot as Stone fell all the way back into fifth. So, Nate, it was a pretty good weekend for this category. Again, I don't think there were too many penalties, if any at all, but a fun race to watch for their 20-lap main event.
Yeah, a really fun one to watch for a limited field of masters that were running. Wasn't a perfect weekend for them, though, on penalties. There is one avoidable contact in the first heat, but that's it for the entire weekend. So still pretty good for them. And cool for Adam Kreppen to get a national win there, who went perfect last year in Route 66 competition, who was there or thereabouts pretty much every weekend that he ran at US Peak Ass in 23, and to open his season off with a win, a national win, albeit, is pretty good for him.
Yeah, we'll see if he keeps the helmet on or puts the official hat back on with the remainder of the USPKS season, because he has been an official in the past. Last year only ran a couple of events and then was an official for the events he did not compete in. So that'll be one thing we'll keep an eye on as we head to Trackhouse and talk to him more about that in the coming weeks. With that, we'll head into Mini Swift, presented by Soty Racing USA. And the headline is:
first mini victory for Woon.
Yeah, Ashton Woon, a former Micro Swift champion, now into what I believe is his second season in the Mini Swift category, along with Marco Samet. Samet was the fast driver in qualifying at 57.790, was able to edge out Ashton Woon. And so they were the top two drivers in qualifying, but it was Nicholas Orbezo, the RPG driver, the Texan, coming up from the eighth spot in qualifying to come out as the winner in the opening heat race, while Royce Vega, another driver from Texas, coming out to win the race in heat number two, as he started back, what did he start? In third. So started the heat races in third. And then in the final heat race, Ashton Woon finally coming through after starting second in all three heat races, able to pull off the heat win in that one, as Samet fell back essentially in all of the heat races to seventh, second, and eighth, but he still retained the fourth starting spot. So was still in the hunt as Orbezo earned the pole position for the main event alongside Ashton Woon. And then Valentino Santillan, the Soty Kart driver, pretty impressive, put down results of second, fifth, and third to end up starting the main event in the third spot. And Valentino was among those drivers battling it out for the win, as we saw a number of different drivers leading in this race. So kind of very similar, Nate, would you say, to K100 Junior, where we had a number of drivers in the hunt all race long?
Yeah, and I mean, that's just how Mini Swift has been for the past couple of years, with how many drivers have been competitive, and then how many of the micros that move up are starting to find their feet in Mini Swift just towards the end of the year. So now you get you start a year with about six drivers that can win and end it with 20 or so. And this season around, not a lot of that grace period for the new drivers. A lot of them getting up to speed really quick. And it's been very fun to see in the early parts of this year.
Yeah, so we had Orbeza lead, we had Santillan lead, and then Woon, who was starting on the outside of the front row, fell back all the way to six. But by the time we got to lap seven, had worked his way back up into the lead. And him and Orbeza kind of went back and forth, and you had a number of drivers kind of waiting in the wings, waiting for something to happen, make it their opportunity to come in and do something. Including Samet and many others that were right there. But Woon, after losing the lead to Santillan for a couple laps, took over the lead on lap 14. And essentially from there was able to hold off all the pressure behind him for the remaining laps. It looked like a little bit of fighting for second on the final lap gave him just enough space, gave him enough breathing room to essentially go unchallenged to the checkered flag, winning by just over a second to gain that first USPKS Mini Swift victory. Santillan won the battle for second ahead of Samet in the third position on Brandon Jarzakrak Racing entry. And then finishing in fourth was Alex Chandler, coming all the way up from 17th on the grid. Was fifth overall in qualifying, had two good heat races and then a really bad one in the third heat. So that dropped him all the way down to 17th, but came all the way up to finish fourth as he was able to put Nicholas Orbeza down in the fifth position. So, Nate, this was a pretty good race. Excited to see what the Mini Swift class is going to continue to offer. Who was the hard charger of the race?
So Bashi Jimenez, I believe. Probably butchering that, so apologies there. Gaining 18 spots from 30th to 12th. A lot of big movers, though, in this class. A couple spots back, Tucker Treve making up 15 spots, ending up in 15th. Like you said, Alex Chandler making up 13 to end up 4th. And Maxwell Macha getting a top 10 finish, starting 12 spots back from where he started in the final. A lot of big movers in the Mini Swift final last weekend.
Yeah, really cool to see this category every weekend, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen at Trackhouse, where you know things are going to get wild and crazy. Now into our final category, the Micro Swift, presented by Team Ferris Racing, and the headline is
Suarez wins first at USPKS.
I think, again, the micro next to the Masters, I think the Micro Swift put on probably the best show or cleanest show all weekend long. We did have a flip, I think, in one of the heat races. Again, just, tires grabbing the cart and sending it right over after a spin. But aside from that, really clean racing up front. I don't believe we saw a lot of penalties in this category as well, too. I think only a couple. Yeah, we had a couple in the main event there. But up front, Santiago Orleone, the MPG Motorsports Kart Republic driver, setting fast time of 58.803, was in the hunt for the win, was actually leading the opening heat race, and then a throttle cable broke on him. That sent everybody kind of shuffling. I think we had another driver retire after that, but it ended up being Mickey Collins picking up the win in the opening heat race. Santi came back to win the second heat race, while Wynn Godschalk, who was second qualifier, winning the third heat race. So we had three different winners overall in the heat races, as it was Wynn Godschalk earning the pole position for the main event ahead of Miguel Suarez, who qualified fourth and finished third, fourth, and fourth in his heat races. So pretty consistent for Suarez over the heat races, as he would start on the front row alongside Godschalk. Zane Burgess starting in third ahead of next to Mickey Collins, with Marcelo Flores starting in the fifth spot. The lead pack essentially began as six drivers and then was whittled down to three. It included Godschalk, Santi Orleone, coming up from the 13th position, and then Miguel Suarez. Those were the three drivers that essentially kind of broke away from what was a six-driver lead pack into just a three-driver lead pack. By the time we got to lap 11, that's when Aurelio Lee took over the lead and was leading for the first time in the main event. But the drivers continued fighting back and forth, and eventually Gottschalk took over the lead with two laps to go. But the last lap was just amazing. Basically, they went three wide through the penultimate corner and then three wide through the final kink, leading onto the front straightaway, making it a three wide finish at the line. And it ended up being Miguel Suarez that was able to pull off the victory, getting to the line first by 35 thousandths of a second ahead of Santi with Gottschalk in the third position. So finishing in fourth was Jake Minella in the Team Ferris Racing Kart Republic, with Flores finishing in the fifth spot. So we had Cosmic, Kart Republic, Bennick, Kart Republic, and Kart Republic for the top five. So Nate, that was a pretty wild race and a pretty amazing finish for this category.
Yeah, it was quite the way to start off the Sunday main events for Micro Swift. A lot of fun to see them come three wide across the line and battle it out, and see Suarez get his first win after being fairly new to U.S. competition, coming onto the scene more in the SCUSA Winter Series and Rock Cup competition, with Aurelio behind, who was hard charger of the race, making up 11 spots, one of four drivers to make up 11 spots during the race. Brody Stoffel, who finished in ninth and also had fastest lap during the race, made up 11. Luca Brusseril, who finished 11th, made up 11. And then Aiden Goh down in 15th place also made up 11 spots. So a bit of a coincidence there, but really, really fun race to watch in the Micro Swift final.
Yeah, very good race to watch. It was great to start off the main events with the Micro Swift category. So with that, we'll head into our final segment. After these commercials, we'll do a wrap up Constructors Championship and then our ECAN Trackside Live race calendar.
In racing, experience is priceless. Franklin Motorsports is a leader in the karting industry, and with over 30 years of combined karting experience, we can provide you with everything you need to go racing. With a large online product selection, select track support events, and a wide variety of shop services, Franklin Motorsports is your complete karting source. Check out our online store at franklinkart.com, where all of our products are just a mouse click away. We continue to add to our growing product selection on the online store, and we ship daily to ensure products get to you quickly. We specialize in IAMI engines, tilt seats, the ceramic product line, driveline branded products, Briggs & Stratton engines, smoker performance sprockets, OTK products, AIM, MG tires, and of course, the championship winning Merlin chassis. In our online store, you'll find a variety of items to fill your karting needs. Franklin Motorsports is also known for our wide variety of services and is home to Innovative Engine Works by FMS, our in-house engine service department. Frame straightening, kart prep, and dyno testing are all services offered regularly at Franklin Motorsports. Be sure to stop by the Franklin Trailer during the United States Pro Kart Series events as the official trackside vendor. For all things karting, visit franklinkart.com. CRG is one of the most iconic brands in karting, and we're primed and ready for the 2022 season with new material and a never-ending focus on winning. CRG Nordam is the North American distributor for all CRG products. Based outside of Houston, Texas, CRG Nordam supports CRG dealers across the continent, reaching every corner of North America. The CRG KT5 is our new chassis for tag and shifter racing, and it's been designed specifically for the U.S. market. The KT5 features 30mm construction with a 32mm front loop to increase front grip. CRG's new Ven 13 brake system is cutting-edge technology with a master cylinder that allows for pressure regulation within the system. Drivers can customize brake pressure to their own requirements to improve feel and to avoid brake lockup. The cart is finished with new KG 507-508 bodywork that has refined aerodynamics and reduced weight. For cadet drivers, the 2022 CRG Black Mirror is already logging positive results to start the new season. This chassis will be making big waves in 2022. Longtime CRG drivers will be happy to know that the CRG Road Rebel, the standard in quality and performance, is still available. With four-cycle racing enjoying consistent growth in North America, CRG's FS4 chassis is the ideal choice for racers in brakes and Stratton competition. From pure racing to karting entertainment, many tracks, both indoor and outdoor, have made the switch to the CRG Centurion rental kart line. Five different models, for both gas-powered or electric engines, can fit any track's needs for a new rental kart fleet. CRG Nordam has a full inventory of rental karts available for new and existing facilities. For more information on the CRG product line, head to www.kartcrg.com, and to inquire about a North American dealer near you, please email us at info@kartcrg-nordam.com.
Welcome back to our final segment of the ECAN Debrief, episode 128. It is Tuesday, April 9th, 2024, as we are wrapping up our coverage of the United States Pro Kart Series Texas Grand Prix from the Speed Sports Racing Park in New Caney, Texas. Speaking of Speed Sports, thank you to the Alan Rudolph and Jessica Rudolph and the entire Speed Sports family for hosting us this past weekend. Again, amazing to get back there. My second time, Nate's first time, just an amazing facility. And if you've never been, we definitely encourage you to go and check it out, make some laps there. I know we didn't get to make laps there. We'll try and do that next year, but just too humid Sunday. We needed to get out of there. It was hot, but let's wrap up this past weekend. We had a couple of red flags in practice in the opening round of heats, but after that, a pretty clean race. With no major incidents after that. So good to see with that. And as we just talked about with Micro, a lot of exciting racing in all the classes. We saw five of the seven go down to the last lap. So it's a pretty good weekend when you don't have a lot of dominant. And Nate, I think a lot of it has to do with the racetrack itself, because you can defend, but you... with the back and forth nature of that racetrack, it's very hard to maintain that defensive line from one corner to the next. And it kind of opens up to allow some people to make a move here, or even as we saw a lot of times, people trying the outside line in certain spots of the racetrack.
Yeah. Especially down the back straight into the kind of 180 corner there. I think it's turn five or turn six. When a lot of people would go defensive and take that inside line, a couple of drivers would try it late on the brakes around the outside and see what can work. So it put on some really good racing throughout the weekend. And like you said, it's kind of a balance, I guess, of how you want to race it. If you think you can have the pace, then obviously go for it. If not, you can block, but with how much switchbacks there are in the low speed corners, that it's kind of easy to block, and you're going to bring the rest of the pack into the racing too. So a lot of strategic racing, a lot of games of chess being played throughout the weekend, something that was really, really fun to watch, and wish we could see more racing here. At least on the national calendar, but really enjoyed the visit and had some really fun racing.
And now the championship moves to Mooresville. And, you know, for some drivers, it's a great start to the year. For others, they're going to have either a lot of work to do or just some homework to do to get a little bit better. That's, I think, one thing we saw X30 Pro. Some of these guys need just a little bit more to be able to challenge Norberg. And in some of the other categories, we saw some headline drivers have issues or other things happen. So a lot to kind of go over the next month, and we'll get more into that next in the month of May when we start prepping for our trip over to the Trackhouse Motorplex. The Constructors Championship, we saw four brands take the seven victories on the weekend. The leading the way, Cosmic, with three wins under the Rollison Performance Group tent. Sodikart picking up the win in KA Senior with Alan Isambard. Kart Republic taking a victory with Enzo Vidmonti in KA100 Junior. The Gallard with Adam Crepin on the Team FMS machine. And then Parolin picking up the win in Mini Swift with Super Tune driver Ashton Woon. Now let's get into our ECAN Trackside Live race calendar presented by Parolin USA. It all started in 1994 when former kart driver Albino Parolin decided to move his passion for karting from the track to his small workshop. That's when Parolin was born. Parolin USA is North America's source for Parolin products, and we run a factory team at all the major Superkarts USA, USPKS, and Rock Cup USA events. The Parolin chassis lineup includes the Invader Shifter, the Le Mans Tag single-speed chassis for junior and senior drivers, the 28mm Opportunity model for the cadet classes, and the Daytona 4-cycle chassis. Get on the chassis that's winning. Drive a Parolin. For more information, head to ParolinUSA.com. So, Nate, I will be getting on an airplane here in a few hours, essentially Thursday, to head to the Challenge of the Americas finale at Sonoma Raceway in Sonoma, California, the April 12th through the 14th event. We'll have the final two rounds of the 2024 championship, with myself and Rob Howden there to call the action and provide coverage all weekend long. Excited to be at Sonoma. Nate, I think that's probably one of the tracks on your bucket list, correct?
Of many that I haven't been to, but yeah, it's one that I've heard some good things about from my friends who have raced it, so it'll be fun to race that one day.
And if you love food, you got to go to Angelo's for a sandwich. So anybody who hasn't been there before, make sure you check out Angelo's. And of course, I'll get my In-N-Out fix as well there this weekend. And then our next trackside event will be a month after that. It'll be the May 17th through the 19th weekend for the United States Pro Kart Series Carolina Grand Prix at the Trackhouse Motorplex in Mooresville, North Carolina. So a trip to Race City, USA, and what is essentially the unofficial home of the United States Pro Kart Series, as it hosted the inaugural event back in 2013 and has been on the calendar for what is now 12 years running. So this will be the 12th visit for the United States Pro Kart Series to Trackhouse Motorplex, which is essentially the third different name that facility has held, with Mooresville Motorplex being the first, GoPro Motorplex being the second, and now Trackhouse Motorplex the third. Nate, looking ahead to that event, essentially a month away, what are kind of the things that you're thinking about when we head to what will be the second round of the championship program?
I mean, really, just really, really tight fields is what comes out of the racing at Trackhouse. It seems like it's a bit of a leveler in terms of the calendar, where some tracks and some weather conditions obviously suits different drivers, where you come to Trackhouse and everyone seems to be more on a level playing field than they are for the rest of the season. It's always a fun race to watch, whether it be the major U.S. Nationals, whether it be IAMI Grands, or really whatever race goes there is always worth a watch. So it should be fun to see, especially earlier on in the season, how this race pans out in a month's time.
Yeah, I think success is going to be very crucial for a lot of drivers if they want to keep themselves in the championship hunt. But like you said, I think the Trackhouse Motorplex is a very level playing field. So we're going to see a lot of different contenders in all the different categories. So we could have 7 of 7 races decided on the final lap there when we get to Trackhouse Motorplex for sure. Any other closing notes there about this past weekend or in general, Nate, as we wrap up our debrief?
I'm glad to get out of the hot and the humid. I'll be honest. It was hot all weekend, and the showers overnight on Sunday that made it even more humid was not enjoyable, but at least we had karts to watch. But I'm just, as always, as I say at the end of these, I'm ready to get to Mooresville and get racing again for round two.
Yeah, excited to see what's going to happen in Mooresville. Excited to get the 2024 season started for the United States Pro Kart Series. So with that, we'll wrap up the show. Thank you for tuning in to our ECAN Debrief episode 128 as we reviewed the United States Pro Kart Series Texas Grand Prix. For Nate Dean, I'm David Cole. Thank you for listening.